Well, good to have some of our travelers that have been away back with us. And as we said this morning, we've got quite a few people that are away. So Labor Day weekend and so forth, usually a lot of folks are getting some of the last summer vacation again. But let's remember everyone in our prayers. And continue to remember those that Joe, who was baptized Thursday night, let's continue to remember him and his family. And others that, if you notice, as a matter of fact, and if you looked around this morning, you could easily see that. We do have just an excellent number of people that are coming on Sunday morning. Some of them have not yet placed membership with us. Some of them, a number of them, are not Christians. So it provides us a great opportunity to reach out to them, to welcome them here, to show them that we really care, we really want them to be coming. And let's all try to make a special effort to do that. It'll do us well, as Edward just said, and I appreciate the prayer that he led. Let's remember Tina and Al and the family, the extended family. We've gone through so much over this as Tina's been ill, and now with Al as well, so let's remember them. Tonight, we're going to take a look at a lesson. Turn back to Matthew chapter 12, and we'll start there. And really, we're going to talk about something that I suppose a lot of people, if they were scanning through the sermons on the website and just looking perhaps for a sermon to listen to, they might look at this, and as they started listening to it, they might wonder, why in the world devote an entire lesson to a question like this? 3 days and three nights, and making obvious reference to what Jesus said here, that he would be buried for 3 days and three nights. But there's a very good reason. In fact, there may be a number of reasons to study this, but I'm convinced that statements like this, and as we get into it tonight, you will see why I say that this appears to be, and some would find a contradiction in Scripture, one that can't be harmonized. I think it can. But some would find that. Some would see it as just a logical, you might say, absurdity, that you just can't be logical, you can't be reasonable to believe the statements like this, obvious, careless mistakes that human beings made in writing this, and they wouldn't believe, of course, that it comes from God. And yet, even for the serious believer, why dedicate so much time to something like this? Maybe sermons like we had this morning would be more on the order of what people would see as a need, that kind of question. You know, why does God allow certain evil things to happen? But there are very important reasons to study. I'm convinced that God gives us things like this in Scripture. Things that in one sense are not emotionally charged at all. Like the superscription, an easy one, is the superscription written over the cross. Four different accounts, four different things are said. And yet it forces us, if you want to get the whole saying that was written in those three languages over the cross, it forces you to go to every passage that includes the superscription and to put all that together, and you come away with what is said. Now, there's no emotion involved in that because, you know, it simply is a statement that everyone either believes or they don't believe, but it doesn't matter because there's just nothing there. There's nothing moral about it or nothing that seems, you know, that contradicts things in people's lives, etc. But this is another one of those kinds of things. Jesus saying here in Matthew 12, and let's look at it again. Kevin read, I won't read the whole passage. Kevin read it for us. But again, notice, you're going to get the sign of the prophet Jonah. And the contention centers around what he says in verse 40. When he says, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, there's some obvious questions that you immediately have. And if you're familiar with Scripture, one of the first questions you have is it three full days and three full nights? I mean, Jesus seems to be saying that here, 3 days and three nights. And yet elsewhere, if you read, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, you're not so sure that it is 3 days and three nights. And you might say, do all of the accounts of how long Jesus was buried, and that's what he's obviously making reference to, that three-day period of his burial, do all of the accounts agree? Now, if you grabbed an outline, you can see that I asked those questions, and I said we'll consider what's said to try to determine what Scripture is really saying. So let's look at it. I'm not going to go through, for sake of time tonight, But I put the references in here, basically two chapters in each of the four accounts. And you'll notice Matthew 27, 28, Mark 15, 16, Luke 23, 24, and John 19 and 20. Now, if you read those accounts, and you very carefully just jot down on a piece of paper, and I would suggest you do this just for your own sake of study. But if you jot down on a piece of paper when all of this is happening, the writers are very specific. And they tell you, many times even telling you the hour of the day that the event took place. And if you do that, a harmony of all those passages, and you can do this on your own to see it, but I think all of those passages related to the crucifixion, to the burial, to the resurrection will show, and I think clearly show, that Jesus is crucified on Friday. Now some, in order to get the three full days and three full nights, to try to force that in there, some have been led to conclude Jesus was crucified actually on Thursday. But that scripture really doesn't allow that. And if you, again, just look at what is said, you can even start back a little earlier than those I put on there, go all the way back maybe to the Passover meal that does take place on Thursday. It just doesn't allow it. And so what you come away with is, yeah, Jesus is crucified on Friday, and it is somewhere after 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the ninth hour of the day. Remember, darkness comes upon the land, and there's a number of events that take place. A number of dead people come out of the graves, walk through the city, people see them, etc., etc. All of that's going on, and somewhere after that, and you can see that in the accounts, it is somewhere after that 3 o'clock, when that signals those final events, somewhere after that, Scripture records in a couple of different places that Jesus yielded up the ghost or gave up the ghost and he died. You'll also notice as you read through those, again, I'm not going to turn and read all of that, but if you do, there was concern on the part of the Jews that they not have to bury or take the bodies down, do that work, and put the bodies in the grave after 6 o'clock. Because at 6 o'clock, as Jews count time, and I'll mention this a couple of times in the lesson, but as Jews reckon time, at Friday afternoon at 6 o'clock, then and now, for that matter, Sabbath begins. And so the Sabbath actually went from Friday evening at 6 o'clock to Saturday evening at 6 o'clock, and there's a very good reason for that, because Jews follow the Old Testament and the evening and the morning were the first day and the second day, etc., etc. So they're very concerned with the bodies being taken off. With, if they're going to die, they need to die and take the bodies down before 6 o'clock, and so that they have time to get them quickly into a grave so they can go back and observe the Sabbath day. And that's why the Roman soldiers break the legs of the two thieves, come to Jesus. Jesus is already dead. And again, this is all occurring before 6 p.m. The soldier sticks the spear in his side. Obviously, Jesus is clearly dead. They take the bodies down and they bury them. And he would have been buried by 6 o'clock. So let's look at that. If all that's the case, if you're looking at this, then what do you have? And maybe, I debated on whether or not I was going to draw this out. But since I want to make reference, I guess, to it drawn out, I'll draw it out crudely. But here's what you would have. Under consideration here, you've got, let's just do it like this. You've got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Friday, you've got Jesus buried by 6 p.m. And of course, what Scripture tells us is he's in the grave or in the tomb of Joseph. Somewhere, at least by 6 p.m., he's in that grave. And he's there the rest of that night and all day Saturday and into Sunday morning as it dawns. If I can learn to spell here. As it dawns, and that would be somewhere around 6 o'clock a.m. And I'll say or shortly, because there are several events that take place there, shortly after. But we're not talking about hours, we're talking about minutes probably. Now, that's what you're looking at. Now, look at that for a moment. This is a dilemma that you're left with. Okay. Scripture shows you that.
And you go through these passages, and Matthew is one of the easiest ones to see, incidentally, if you want to go home and look at this for yourself, because it's just so precise. It tells you that, and the next day, and Sabbath happened, and so forth and so on. So you're clearly understanding it's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But there's no way in that Friday 6 o'clock to Sunday 6 a.m. at dawn, there's no way to get anywhere close to any 72 hours, which is 3 days and 3 nights. So you're left with that. He's dead, and if you notice on the outline, I say under that point A there of the chronology of the crucifixion, he was dead for at least parts of 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and certainly for 2 full nights. Friday, the evening begins at 6 p.m., he's definitely dead and buried. All that evening, Saturday evening, 6 o'clock, to Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, 2 full nights, but not 3. So 2 full nights and parts of 3 days. But he would have been dead. Let's say that he died as some, you know, oftentimes you'll hear Jesus died at 3 p.m. Well, there are a couple of events that got to take place, but let's say 3 p.m. even. 3 p.m., unless my math fails me here, 3 p.m. here to Sunday morning, 6 o'clock, would be, I think, 39 hours at most. And it's probably between 36, that would be 6 p.m., and 39, which would be that 3 p.m. Now, that's what you got. 3 days and 3 nights is 72 hours, and you got about 39. So if he's only dead no more than 39 hours, Friday 6 o'clock to, you know, before 6 after 3, to Sunday at 6, just after 6 a.m., how can that be harmonized with 3 days and 3 nights? And that's the problem. So the critic comes along, and you can read this online if you want to, or pick up a book that has it, and he will tell you you can't harmonize it. So he will point this out as one of the ludicrous type statements you find in the Bible, the careless type statements you find in the Bible, and so he will say the Bible is written by men, not by God. Well, let's consider some things. Those of you that are in my Sunday morning class, this is the kind of thing we're studying right now. How do you study? What are the important questions you need to ask? Well, one, you need to ask about grammar, usage of language. And we're going to get into that in a couple of lessons in that class down there. But it's very important here. Here is where is one of those times in Scripture where the grammar is so important. When you look at this, it is known. This is a known fact. You don't have to take the Bible's word for it, certainly not my word for it, but just simply go and look at those who know Oriental-type, Eastern-type customs, thinking, their ways of thinking. And it is a known fact that Orientals, including Jews, some people find that kind of strange that Jews are Oriental, but they are. But Orientals, including the Jews, account any part of the day. If you look up here, you can see there's parts of 3 days here. Any part of a day is accounted as a whole day. Now, that's just a fact. It's a custom. It's a way of thinking. It's not a way of thinking here, but it is on the other side of the world. Here, we focus more on the number of hours. And that's why if you want to give precise instructions, if you want someone exactly 2 days before something to do something, like whatever it might be, confirm a registration or a reservation. That's what I'm looking for. You want someone to confirm a reservation 2 days before. In our language, you don't say 2 days. If you want to be precise, you tell them by 48 hours preceding the time you're going to check in. Why? Because we count it by hours. 48 hours is 2 days, 72 hours is 3 days. And when we look at this, the problem that Western thinking has with this passage is 3 days and 3 nights doesn't harmonize with 39 hours at the most. It's not 72 hours, so it's not 3 days, someone will say. Well, it is 3 days. And in fact, to the Jew, not only is it 3 days, go home and look this up for yourself. I don't want you to take my word for it. 3 days to the Jew, 39 hours, parts of 3 days, is not only 3 days, but it is a whole 3 days in his way of thinking. It is, in fact, 3 days and three nights, according to his thinking. And I want us to look at that and just kind of consider it with a couple of other examples to show that in the Bible, some very clear ones, I think. At least I tried to choose a couple that were very clear. But let's just understand. In the Jewish way of thinking, in the Jewish mind, a little part of Friday, now that's what you would have, before 6 o'clock, after 3 o'clock, there's a little part of Friday. As far as the Jew is concerned. Remember, if Friday is 6 o'clock, it changes in his mind to Saturday. But there's still a little part of Friday. A little part of Friday is a day. If it was 5:30 when he died, and it was only 30 minutes left of Friday, in the Jewish mind, that 30 minutes is a day. Now, to us, we'd round it off. You know, if it was 2 days, if it was 48 hours and 30 minutes, man, it's 2 days. But to the Jews, it's three. Any part of that day over the two is three. So to a Jew, that little part of Friday, look up here, all of Saturday, and that little part of Sunday, 12 hours from Saturday night at 6 o'clock to Sunday at 6 o'clock, and then whatever, you know, right at that time, because the Bible is very specific. It's right as it dawns. All of Saturday and basically half of Sunday, that's what you've got. A little piece of Friday, all of Saturday, half of Sunday. To the Jews, that's 3 days, even though, in fact, it's 36 to 39 hours. So naturally, we see this. If you were to ask the Western person, if we're talking about Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but basically we're talking about it's no more than 39 hours, if you were to ask any child over here that learns that there's 24 hours in a day, and you say, how many days, if there's 24 hours in a day, how many days is 39 hours? He's going to tell you two, because that's the way we think. The Jew is going to tell you three, because that's the way he thinks. Now, therein lies the confusion. And there really isn't any way to harmonize that or compromise that. You just simply have to understand the Bible is set in a Jewish setting here. These are Jews that are concerned, writing about a Jewish event. Yeah, I know the Romans are involved here. But it's writing to Jewish people, and these people understand this reckoning of time. And so these Jews that are writing, and they're writing to people, they understand it. And it comes from what some have come to call a biblical reckoning of time. But it really isn't. It's Jewish. Now, let's come back again. If you're looking at the bottom of this outline, let's come back, or page one anyway. Or maybe on yours is the top of page two. But anyway, under letter C, I say, but can 3 days and three nights really equal 72 hours from what is said? Because that's the way we think. And the answer is yes. 3 days and three nights, Matthew 12:40, is any parts of 3 days. Let's look at a couple of other examples. First of all, let's look at a couple of other things that are said. Go with me to Matthew 16. Now, I just want to read a couple of passages here and show you why it has to be this less than 72 hours, but why it still is, of course, the 3 days and three nights. Look at Matthew 16. This is something Jesus said. Now, remember, Jesus has already said, Matthew 12, you want a sign? I give you a sign. You get the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights. Son of Man will be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. But then he comes back, not too much later, in Matthew 16, and look down at verse 21. In verse 21, he has, you know, asked that famous question. Peter's had that great confession of faith. And then in verse 21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and he must rise or be raised again the third day. Now that becomes consistent. So the question is, and some would say it like this, did Jesus change his mind? Was it 3 days and three nights? Now he's changed his mind and it's the third day. Why would you say that? Well, understand. If it's three full days and three full nights, if it's 72 full hours that Jesus has to remain buried, by our thinking, the minute after those 72 hours, we are on what day? Fourth day.
Because if it's been 72 full hours, once 72 full hours pass, even 1 minute past that, by our reckoning, is the fourth day. So you understand then that if Jesus says 3 days and three nights, and it's got to be, as some are demanding, you know, some critics demand, it's got to be 3 full days and 3 full nights. Well, by that, it would be the fourth day when he's raised, and it can't be. Because Jesus is very clear here, he's going to be raised the third day. And there are a number of passages, obviously. The most common phrase you see for the resurrection of Jesus is the third day. But let's look at some others. If you're still in Matthew, look at Matthew chapter 27, and notice how back-to-back verses. Now, I consider this one that, and I use this one often when I run across this question with people. Because in two verses back-to-back, you see both. So let's read it. Matthew 27, and look down at verse 63. You'll notice that we're talking about Jesus has died. And, get over there. Jesus has died, and I need to get in 27. And look down where it says, verse 62, you'll see exactly when we're talking about. The next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate. The next day, we're on Saturday here. Now notice verse 63. They said, "Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive." Now listen to the language clearly. "After 3 days, I will rise again." Now, some look at this phrase and they say, "after 3 days," and I've known even brethren who have a problem with, you know, you can't force it to be Friday, it's got to be Thursday. And this is one of the phrases they look at, "after 3 days," because it's that Western way of thinking. After 3 days, add Matthew 12, 3 days and three nights, after 72 hours. Is that what they mean when they say to Pilate, "after 3 days, I will rise again"? Well, it might look like it in verse 63, but then read the next verse. "Command, therefore," same people talking, mind you, "command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure, the tomb be made sure," notice, "until the third day, lest disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, he's risen from the dead." Now, you see, what's happening here is you've got Jewish people. And in the Jewish way of thinking, in the Oriental way of thinking, after 3 days is exactly the same as the third day. And you can even see it by the same people in the same conversation, back-to-back verses, they use it interchangeably. So after 3 days is the same thing as the third day. And you notice in a number of other places, look at John chapter 2 and verse 19, when Jesus said, "destroy this temple," making reference to his body. And if you look at the original, the idea is very clearly within, in the scope of 3 days. Not more than 3 days, but within 3 days, I will rise again. Now notice, as Paul also in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 4, when he's kind of summarizing all of the events, he says that it was the third day, obviously, that Jesus rose. I think what you come away with is understanding this. That 3 days and three nights is the same thing as the third day, the same thing as after 3 days that we just read in Matthew 27, the same thing as until the third day, as we just read in Matthew 27, the same thing as in 3 days, as we just saw in John 2, or it is the third day. Now again, why go through something like this? I mean, this is laborious. Why go through all of this kind of thing? Because it teaches us how specific God is. And while we're looking at the day Jesus was crucified and the day he rose from the dead, and that's important, we want to know that, we're also looking at some greater questions. One, is God careless? Or is this really not written from God? It's written by humans and they are careless. They make mistakes. In other words, Matthew just messed up when he said 3 days and three nights because he should have known what he was going to say later and it really couldn't be 3 days and three nights. No. I believe God uses things like this to show us how careful you have to be with everything he says. Once you do things like this, And I get people sometimes that are not members of the church when we're studying and, you know, we're talking about, especially if I have denominational people that I know don't believe in the plan of salvation, that I know don't believe the truth about what it takes to become a Christian. I'll get them to do things like this. I'll ask them the question. And, you know, the easy one that we start off with. What did the superscription over the cross say? And typically, the same people that will go to a verse that says, believe and you'll be saved, or confess with the mouth and you'll be saved, typically those same people will go to one passage and they will say, it said, and they'll go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and they'll read whatever that says, and they'll say, it said that, and I say, no, it didn't. And they'll look at me kind of strange, and I'll say, does Mark say that? Because they all four disagree. Or does Luke say that? Or does John say that? And they'll flip over and they'll look at it, and they'll say, well, no, it doesn't say exactly that. They're kind of confused. And you see what's happening there. No emotion involved. You're just looking at what a sign says. And what happens is they're kind of confused, and they're saying, well, okay, well, we got two different things. And I said, well, write them down on a piece of paper. So they do that. And what they end up doing with that, and then we go through a longer one like this, or sometimes I'll use Peter cutting off Malchus' ear, or any of those like that. Once you get all of it written down, then you're forced to look at the whole list. And you're forced to say to yourself, the only way I can know what the sign said, or the only way I can really know what happened to Jesus on that weekend, is by putting it all together. Everything God said, and that's exactly what we want people to do. Because if you have to do that with the superscription, and you have to do that with the day He rose from the dead, then you have to do that with the plan of salvation. Or you have to do that with worship. And once you put it all together and you consider everything God said, then you know exactly what you're supposed to do. Look with me at two quick examples from the Scripture, that same way of thinking, just to show that, you know, I'm not just being crazy necessarily about the day of crucifixion or the day of resurrection. Look with me first of all, and I'll look at a longer one first and then a very easy one second. But if you will look with me at the book of Acts, and we'll talk about the conversion of Cornelius, and it's very interesting here. It shows you clearly in one chapter, that's one reason why I like to use it, it shows this way of thinking, 3 days, 4 days, which is it, that kind of thing, 2 days, 3 days, which is it. It shows you in one passage. So if you look with me at Acts chapter 10, if you remember the story, and I'm not going to talk about the whole story here, read it all certainly, but if you remember the story, Cornelius was a good man. He wasn't a Jew, he wasn't a proselyte, but he was a good guy. And God is going to save Cornelius, and He's going to save him the same way He does everybody else, and that's by sending a human being to him, and that human being, Peter, is going to teach him that he needs to be baptized, and he is, and he's saved. But in the course of this, you'll notice what happens. Look at chapter 10 and verse 3, and the Bible, for whatever reason, maybe to confirm this whole thing up here, I don't know. But for whatever reason, it is the only story like this you see in Acts where it tells you every single day that transpires and what happens on that day. Follow it with me. Acts 10 and verse 3. Cornelius is referencing. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day, that same 3 p.m. that we were talking about. About the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying, and this angel, of course, says to him, you need to send to Joppa, you need to get this guy, he'll come and tell you what you need to do. Now, if you'll drop down to verse 9, it says very clearly, on the morrow, or some of your translations will say, the next day. And at the next day, these people that Cornelius sent, as they went on their journey, drew near to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, about 12 o'clock, noon. And it tells us that Peter saw this vision and all of that kind of thing. And all of that transpires. But it was the next day, about the sixth hour. So notice that. We've gone from 3 p.m. one day to noon the next day. Now look down at verse 23. After Peter meets with these guys, spends some time with them, all of that kind of thing. Verse 23, he called them in, he lodged them, and on the morrow, they spent the night, and the next day, Peter went away with them, and they came, those people that came from Joppa, they went with him. And in verse 24, and on the morrow, or the next day after, Peter went into Caesarea. Cornelius came in. Of course, he had brought a whole host of people, and Peter preached to them. Now, what do you have here? Well, you've got some events where one guy is going to send some friends of his to get Peter. Peter's going to come, and he's going to teach Cornelius. That's the important thing. But time-wise, what you have, you start on one day here. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the next day, these guys meet up with Peter about noon the next day. The next day, that whole group of them leave to go back to the first guy who was praying, and they get there the next day. Now, notice what Cornelius says about it, and then I'm going to show you why I think this is so interesting. Cornelius then says, when Peter comes in to meet him, look down at verse 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. Now notice that. 4 days ago. That's not what we would say. If you put days to this so that it's clear, it's easy to think this way. Let's say that it's Monday when Cornelius is praying. If it's Monday when he's praying, then it's Tuesday when his friends meet Peter at noon. It's Wednesday when they leave, and it's Thursday when they get in there with Cornelius. And Cornelius doesn't say like you would probably say, or I would say, because it's been less than 72 hours. No more than 72 hours. Again, you've got something very clear. The next day, the next day, the next day. If you add that up, and you can just write it out on a piece of paper, it cannot be more than 72 hours, and it's probably less. So you and I, we would say 3 days ago. I don't know about you, but if it's Tuesday, and something happened to me on Monday, I either say yesterday or a day ago. A Jew doesn't. He counts Monday and Tuesday and says 2 days ago. If something happens to me on Monday, and I come to church Wednesday, and I tell you about it, Monday to Wednesday, in my way of thinking, Wednesday minus Monday is 2 days ago. And I will tell you 2 days ago, or the day before yesterday, sometimes we will say, but I'll say 2 days ago, so it's such and such happened. A Jew won't. He will say 3 days ago. And if it's the next day on Thursday, we get to the Wendy's Bible study and something happened on Monday, I will tell you Thursday minus Monday, 3 days ago, here's what happened to me. A Jew won't. He will tell you 4. Now notice why that's important. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. If something happened on Friday, Saturday it was yesterday, it was a day ago in our way of thinking. If it happened on Sunday, it was 1-2 days ago. But to a Jew, it's 1-2-3 days ago. And that's exactly what Cornelius does here. And the reason he says it is because he is talking to a Jew, Peter. And that's the way Peter understands it. It's 4 days ago. And that's why we look at things like this. Because it shows us how to study. The language is important. It's precise. It's exact. When we're looking at the Bible, we're not talking about just some arbitrary thing that's thrown down here. Sometimes people ask questions, and they'll say, why is it important to know that this took place, they left the next day, they left the next day? Because it's real people, actual events, that's the way God chooses to deliver His Word to us. It makes it more real. It makes it easier for me to copy and to see what people did, and God was either pleased with it or He wasn't. But the point about that is, if it's going to be real people in real events, then you're going to have to put everything together to understand the truth, because it isn't just written out in a list of rules for you to memorize. It's very real, and it involves real people. Now look, one final easy one to see, and then we'll close with that. Look at the book of Esther. Right shortly before the book of Psalms, you've got Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther. And I want you to look at Esther 4. Now, you may or may not remember the story of Esther, but she's going in here. She's, requesting of the king this very, very anxious time. It's an anxious time for the people. They've got a great enemy, all of that going on. Well, they have a fast. And if you look down at the end of Exodus 4, the Bible says Esther bade them, verse 15, she bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink, now notice this, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. Now again, Western thinking, immediately we fly to 3 days, night or day is 3 nights, 3 days, just like Matthew 12. Not so. Look down at chapter 5 and verse 1. It came to pass, and there's our phrase, on the third day. Now again, if you're looking at that, the third day cannot be more than 72 hours. And if it can't be more than 72 hours, then we can't have 3 full days and 3 full nights involved in that fast. Because even 1 minute past that will be the fourth day. The Bible is consistent. And you can look at other examples as well, but I think that's enough. The Bible is consistent. The language is consistent. And importantly for us, there are no contradictions in the Bible. And we learn things about those people. It forces us to remember in other places, these are Jews. Sometimes there's a different way of thinking, etc. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, what's the importance of all of this? Well, God does have a book, a word, and He does mean what He says. It is very precise. And sometimes that can be, God says very specifically, you cannot do so and so, and we wish He didn't say that. But other times He says things very specifically and means them. And you can trust it. I will forgive you of your sins. I'll take them away. That's very precise language. What does that mean? It means exactly that. It means when you confess your belief in Jesus, you repent, you're baptized, He means specifically and exactly all your sins are washed away. There aren't any exceptions. There is no one that is an exception to that. And the more things like this, unemotional, that you study and realize how precise God is and just how much He means, consistently means, what He says, the more you know that means you too. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to obey the gospel. Or maybe it is that you've been baptized and your life is not what it needs to be. And you need to come back to God and ask for forgiveness. There are other people that have had to do that. Good people in the Bible. Great people in the Bible that had to do that. And God forgave them. And because He forgave them, He'll forgive you. Won't you please come while we stand and sing?